Departure with a Belly. Chapter 126. Victoria frowned in response to Elaine's comment. What did she mean? When she said, "I want to steal everything from Claudia." Claudia and Alaric have never been in a committed relationship. If they had, I wouldn't still have feelings for Alaric and be willing to stage a wedding for him. It is simply because he and Claudia never established a relationship. At that thought, Victoria sneered, "Is Alaric the one who told you that he belongs to Claudia?" "Don't be so stubborn, Victoria. I'll let you know whether or not Alaric is Claudia's," Elaine said as she pushed Christopher's hand away and hunkered down in front of Victoria. "Do you have your phone on you?" she asked as she got closer. Victoria looked at her warily in response. "Why are you looking at me like that?" "I'm only conducting an experiment." Then, Elaine flipped Victoria over to search her pockets. At that moment, Victoria was worried for her unborn child when she noticed Elaine rifling through her body, so she struggled in fear because she did not know what Elaine intended to do. "Don't move," Elaine warned her in a low voice. "If you keep moving, I can't guarantee you won't get hurt." "What do you want?" Victoria asked, her face turning pale. "I just need your phone for a fun experiment." "Are you worried about that little B asterisk starred in your belly?" Elaine's voice was low, so Christopher couldn't hear her, and she even said proudly, "I heard Claudia say that you wanted to protect that little B asterisk starred." "Why? Can you use him to keep your title as Mrs. Cadogan forever?" Victoria's eyes narrowed as she heard the word B asterisk starred, and she couldn't help but headbutt Elaine, who was right in front of her. "Ah!" Elaine was knocked backward and yelped in agony. "Don't talk about him like that." Victoria gritted her teeth and glared at Elaine with a fierce look. A moment ago, Victoria had a gentle expression, now, she appeared angry and ready to fight. The sudden change was frightening even for Elaine. After being headbutted, her ear was still ringing as she stood up. She was furious and wanted retaliation, but when she met Victoria's eyes, Elaine was paralyzed with shock. It wasn't until Christopher ran over and grabbed her arm that she returned to her senses. "What do you want to do?" he asked, pulling her up. On the other hand, Elaine didn't dare provoke Victoria anymore after the last incident. What if, despite being tied down, she tried to fight back, and I got hurt? At that thought, she turned to him and asked, "Where's her phone? She can't have gone out without it." After hearing that, he glared at her and released her arm. "It's none of your business." "Yes, and I need to use her phone to make a quick call," she said. Christopher frowned, feeling that Elaine would mess things up. "Hurry up and give it to me. Otherwise, I'll call Claudia and tell her." He was about to refuse when she threatened him with Claudia's name. Ultimately, he gave in and handed over the phone. She immediately took it and started to fiddle with it. "What are you going to do? Just sit back and watch." Christopher glanced at Elaine in disgust, and then his gaze fell on Victoria, whose forehead was swollen from the headbutt. The contrast with her terrifyingly pale lips was startling. "I'm curious about what Elaine may have said to her, because Victoria was very composed when I brought her here. I found it." Elaine browsed Victoria's phone contact list and effortlessly found Alaric's number. Due to the earlier attack, she didn't dare approach Victoria directly, so she crouched far away. "Do you think Alaric will answer if I call him with your phone now?" Victoria looked at Elaine coldly with an indifferent gaze, as if she didn't want to bother Elaine at all. Seeing her like this, Elaine couldn't help but angrily say, "At this point, do you still think you're some pure and noble fairy? You clearly want to be Mrs. Cadogan, but you're still pretending. Just wait and meet your end. Whether or not I choose to become Mrs. Cadogan is none of your business." Victoria snorted. "Or do you want to be Mrs. Cadogan too?" Hearing this, Elaine's face turned red, and her words stuck in her throat. "W, what are you talking about? I'm just saying casually. Are you so worked up because I hit the nail on the head?" Victoria sneered. Elaine's whole face twisted in anger, and her features resembled worms crawling across her face. "Victoria, you'll regret this." With that, she dialed Alaric's number on Victoria's phone. Then, she curled her lips and said, "You probably already know who he's with now, but if his wife calls him for help, will he come?" After saying that, she paused and pretended to be surprised, covering her mouth with her hand. "Oh my, I forgot to mention that he might not even answer the phone, let alone hear your plea for help, right?" Beep. Beep. The call was connected. Meanwhile, Christopher, standing next to Elaine, realized what she had in mind and frowned. "Do you want others to come here? Are you crazy? Shut up. What are you talking about?" Then, she said impatiently, "Alaric won't answer Victoria's call right now, he's with Claudia." When he heard that, his eyes dimmed a bit. "Here I am, desperately giving up everything for the woman I like while she is with another man." At that moment, he recalled what Victoria had said and admitted that it made sense. "Claudia will never like me, so everything I do now is self-sacrifice." At that thought, he suddenly regretted his actions. Beep. Beep. On the other hand, Elaine's call from Victoria's phone went unanswered until a robotic female voice answered. "Hello, the number you dialed is currently unavailable. Please try again later." "Ha ha ha." After hearing the cold, mechanical female voice, Elaine couldn't help but laugh hysterically. "Victoria, I told you he wouldn't answer your call, right? Look, he's with Claudia now, so you're not important to him. Victoria, you're not even worthy of being compared to Claudia." After speaking for a while without getting any response, she looked up to see Victoria's reaction. However, what Elaine saw almost drove her crazy. Victoria was staring at her with a blank expression. She didn't seem disappointed or upset that Alaric hadn't responded to her call. "Initially, I want to retaliate against her, but if this can't even elicit a smidgen of anger from her, what is the point of what I've done so far? I don't believe you can be indifferent to everything." Enraged by Victoria's lack of response, Elaine threw away the phone and rushed toward her. "Elaine, what are you doing?" As soon as Christopher finished speaking, there was a loud bang, and the warehouse door was kicked open. Chapter 127. After hearing the sound, the three people in the warehouse all turned their heads toward the door simultaneously. Before they could react, a group of people rushed in. Shortly after, someone grabbed Elaine and pushed her down to the ground, and Christopher also received the same treatment. Suddenly, the already dusty warehouse was exacerbated by the large crowd of people who rushed in. Due to that, Victoria instinctively closed her eyes. "Capture them and take them out." "Ah! What are you doing? Let go of me." With her eyes closed, Victoria heard Elaine struggling and screaming as they were taken away. "Did I get rescued?" The group of people doesn't look like police officers. "Then, who saved me?" As she pondered, Victoria felt lightheaded and nauseated. Is it due to the earlier headbutt with Elaine or the drug from before? "I lost consciousness not long after Christopher's hand covered my mouth, and I'm unsure if this will affect my health." As she thought about it, she heard a steady sound of footsteps approaching her. She tried to lift her head to see who it was, but in the next second, she lost consciousness again. At that time, she was leaning against a pile of cardboard boxes, so even though she passed out, she didn't fall, but her head drooped down. A few seconds later, a large hand held her head before a pair of arms gently carried her up. She was carried by the man, her soft hair brushing against his chest. The man's gaze softened instantly, but his eyes and voice became cold again when he looked at his men. "Let's go." As he spoke, he carried Victoria out. As soon as they left the warehouse, the man saw Elaine and Christopher being led away. While Christopher seemed defeated and remorseful, she was extremely unwilling and muttering curses. "What are you people doing? Let go of me. You can't forcefully take people away like this, it's illegal." "Illegal?" The leader sneered and continued, "So, now you know that forcefully taking people away like this is illegal." After hearing that, she choked momentarily, then immediately pushed the blame onto Christopher. "He did it all, it has nothing to do with me." Suddenly, Christopher stopped walking upon hearing her words. He wasn't taken aback by her attempt to shift all the blame onto him. "Did you hear that? He's responsible for everything, and I have no involvement whatsoever in this matter," Elaine repeated. "Is that so?" The leader raised an eyebrow. "If it has nothing to do with you, why were you there? When we entered, you even rushed toward Miss Selwyn. Don't tell me you were trying to save her." When she heard that, she stammered, I was trying to save her. I suspected that Christopher was trying to harm her, so dash after hearing this, the leader couldn't help but roll his eyes. He obviously didn't want to listen to her ridiculous ramblings, so he waved his hand and shoved her into the vehicle. When the surrounding noise subsided, he commented, "Dang, where did this idiot come from? If I hear more words from her, I'm afraid my IQ will drop." As he turned his head, he was met with a pair of cold eyes, which caused him to shrink back and quickly open another car door for the person. "Mr. Morrison, please." "Okay," Bane replied coolly and elegantly, bending slightly as he lifted the woman into the car. The guy who opened the door for him was Gus Sardis, who stood behind and watched his boss gently place the woman in the car in the most unprecedented manner. On the other hand, the driver in front obviously noticed it too, and his voice unconsciously lowered when he asked, "Mr. Morrison, where are we going next?" After hearing that, Bane gave him a glance that seemed to say, "Do you really need to ask me where to go?" The driver who caught Bane's eye swallowed nervously. Then, he heard Bane say, "To the nearest hospital." "Okay." After saying that, the driver started the car and headed off in the direction given. Since he knew Victoria was inside the vehicle, he dared he not drive too fast. Pulled the needle out of her fore, causing her to gasp in pain. Her sudden movement drew Bane's attention, who had been lounging quietly on the couch, and he quickly rushed over to help her and called for a nurse. While the nurse was handling her fore, Victoria asked, "Can you remove this first? I have something urgent to attend to." The nurse hesitated as she glanced at Bane, who stood beside her. He chuckled lightly and replied, "You can't have it removed. You are not feeling well, and there are still two bags of fluid drips to administer." "Bane, I'm grateful you saved me, but I must be off to attend to a pressing matter. If you are referring to old Mrs. Cadogan's surgery, you have nothing to worry about." Victoria froze up as soon as she heard the crucial words. "You know? How did her surgery go?" "Don't worry." He placed his hand on her head, and his smile was gentle. "The surgery was very successful, and she is resting well now." After learning that the operation had gone well, she finally calmed down. Grandma wouldn't have to worry about her illness, and she wouldn't have to spend as much time in a nursing home. While contemplating this, a hint of warmth crept into her eyes and expression. Then, she looked up and said, "I want to see her now. This for - Victoria." Bane's large hand moved from the back of her head to her shoulder, and his voice was soft. "Right now, the most important thing is to take care of yourself, understand?" Although he didn't say anything important, Victoria felt that there was some hidden meaning in his words from his tone and expression. Soon, her mind started to spin rapidly. "I awoke in a hospital, and without knowing my condition, the doctors would not have given me N4. If I have N4 line attached to me, then..." Her face turned pale as she considered the possibility and slowly looked up at him. Chapter 128. On the other hand, Bane's gold, rimmed glasses obscured his deep, set eyes, making it difficult for Victoria to read his expression, while he kept a smile on his face the entire time. After a moment of eye contact, he raised his eyebrows. "What's wrong?" At his words, she lowered her eyes and remained silent. She also did not mention visiting Griselda again. Then, she quietly let the nurse reinsert the needle, at which point the pain gradually spread from her hand and heightened her alertness. After the nurse left, it was just the two of them in the ward, and Victoria figured now would be a good time to break the silence. As she fumbled for words, Bane abruptly kneeled before her, holding a clean handkerchief and gently wiping away the bloodstains from her wound that had seeped out from being aggravated earlier. Although the nurse had already cleaned it up, the blood had stained her sleeve and could not be wiped away. However, he appeared to be driven by an obsession with cleanliness as he laboriously wiped away the blood stains repeatedly. After nearly 10 seconds, she couldn't take it anymore and said, "It's okay, just leave it. You can't wipe it off." When he heard that, his movements paused, and he didn't continue wiping. After a moment, he said, "Someone will bring you new clothes later, so change out of this one." Victoria didn't respond and couldn't quite understand what Bane was trying to do. He probably knows I'm pregnant but hasn't mentioned it since the nurse left. Since he and Alaric are friends, I doubt Alaric would keep it a secret from him. Lost in thought, she finally heard him speak. Your hesitant look tells me you have something to say to me. In response, she bit her lower lip and looked at him awkwardly. When he saw the look on her face, he raised his hand and lightly tapped her forehead. We've been friends for many years, and you still hesitate to speak to me? Do you regard me as an outsider? She mused. I don't mean to make you feel like an outsider, but it's difficult for me to bring up this matter. When Bane noticed Victoria remained silent, he lightly laughed and broached the subject. All right, then let me ask you, what do you plan to do? His word choice suggests that he already knows about it. Even though the chances of him not knowing after he brought me to the hospital are slim, I still hold out hope. Before he asked me that, I had a glimmer of hope, but now it's gone. At that thought, her face turned ashen, and she said, "So, you already know." Then, she lowered her head and added, "Are you going to tell him?" For a long time, she did not get a response from him. After a while, she felt his big hand ruffle her hair. This action made Victoria's beautiful eyebrows twist slightly. Why does he still treat me like a child? Soon, she heard Bane ask lightly, "You don't want him to know." However, she was taken aback by his question. As Alaric's friend, Bane's normal response to hearing me say this should be a surprise that Alaric is still unaware of it. Instead, his reaction is to ask if I don't want Alaric to know about this matter. As she pondered this, she saw him stuffing the handkerchief he had just used to wipe her blood stain back into his suit pocket. Suddenly, another scene played out in front of her eyes. When they left the restaurant the last time, he accidentally bumped into someone, so he wiped his hands thoroughly with a handkerchief and then threw it away. Now, he... For a moment, Victoria forgot what she wanted to say, feeling her mind in chaos. "Don't worry, I will help you." After hearing this, she felt that her mind became even more chaotic. Looking up at Bane, she asked, "Help me." He smiled slightly in response. "I will also help this loving couple, Alaric and Claudia." The words "loving couple" made Victoria heartache, and she eventually nodded numbly. Although her mind was still in chaos, hearing that he would keep her secret, she finally felt relieved. "What's going on between you two?" After confirming that they shared a common objective, Bane finally asked her another question. "You've been with him day and night, yet he doesn't know about your pregnancy." When she heard that, her hands clasped involuntarily, and she replied, "He knows." When he heard this, his eyes behind the glasses slightly darkened. As his gaze flickered, his tone changed a bit as well. "He knows." "Yeah." Victoria nodded. She instinctively touched the stray hairs around her ears as she thought about the message she had sent out that had fallen on deaf ears. Smiling faintly, she added, "He doesn't want this child." At this point, Bane understood everything. "So, Alaric knows she's pregnant, but he doesn't want the child. On the other hand, she wants to keep the child but does not want Alaric to know. That explains why she seemed so wary the last time she went to the restaurant." So, he now believes you have already aborted the child. Probably. When he saw her ashen features and fake smile, his thin lips tightened into a straight line, and his eyes grew distant. Then, he sighed after a moment. Why are you so foolish? You still plan to raise the child yourself. Can't I? Victoria looked up, meeting his gaze. Although I'm alone, I'm sure I can raise the child well. After all, I grew up in a single, parent family, and I'm normal and healthy. My father gave me love which was not any less than others. I don't feel I'm any different from others just because I don't have a mother. Her speech became more rapid, and her voice diminished as she spoke, manifesting a loss of confidence. Bane held her wrist, and he said gently, "Okay, it's merely raising a child. There's no need to explain so much. Just do what you want to do." Due to the earlier emotional upheaval, her breathing became more labored, and it took her a while to calm down. Afterward, she composed herself and said, "Sorry, I was feeling a bit emotional just now." She lowered her eyes and spoke softly. Bane looked at Victoria in front of him, feeling a bit helpless. At first glance, she appears to be no different from any other average person. She is not only sound in both body and mind but also possesses an impressive level of resiliency. Despite growing up without a mother, she is still extremely sensitive to the mention of single, parent families. It's okay. He still smiled. 70 gently. By the way, I took Alaric's call before you woke up. He's probably on his way here now, so be prepared. Bang. As soon as the words fell, the door to the ward was pushed open forcefully. Immediately, a familiar figure appeared at the hospital's ward door. Before she could react, the person rushed to her and grabbed her shoulders, panting heavily as he asked, "Are you hurt? Are you okay?" Chapter 129. At this moment, Alaric's hair was disheveled, he had a worried expression, and the chill of the outside air lingered on his body. Although it seemed like he rushed over for her, Victoria knew he had probably been looking for Claudia before coming to her. Besides, he was too busy to answer her call, or maybe it was inconvenient for him. Ultimately, she didn't want to speculate too much on the matter. So, when he came to find her, she didn't feel any emotional response. However, they still had to maintain their relationship looking good on the outside, so she calmly shook her head and said, "Don't worry, I'm fine." She realized she was neither frightened nor dissatisfied when he did not answer her phone calls in the meantime, he didn't have the time to worry about these things. Then, he bent down and carried her. At that moment, Victoria suddenly felt weightless and instinctively wanted to wrap around his neck. When she moved, her hand pulled on the four needle, causing pain that immediately brought her back to the present and halted her motion. Before she could say anything, Bane spoke up. "Alaric, what are you doing?" Alaric's face turned cold as he replied, taking her for a check, "Up." "The check, up has already been done," Bane calmly replied. "Let's do a more comprehensive one," Alaric insisted. Bane smiled in response. "Didn't you see the needle in her hand?" After hearing this, Alaric paused and realized she was still receiving treatment. he was too hasty earlier and didn't notice this detail. Realizing this, he also admitted that he may have caused her pain by carrying her earlier, so he quickly put her back down and asked softly, "Are you hurt?" Victoria heard his gentle voice and felt a deep sense of irony. "You weren't even there to pick up the phone when I called. So, what's the point of these questions now? Thank goodness I've already made it clear to myself that we're not a couple, and he doesn't have to act like one." Hence, she smiled lightly and uttered, "I'm fine." Alaric frowned slightly as he observed her expression and wanted to speak but refrained due to the presence of others in the room. Eventually, he said, "Rest for now. After the 4 infusion, I'll take you for a comprehensive check, up." On the other hand, Victoria knew she couldn't go for the check, up. If she did, her secret would surely be exposed. Still, if she refused, then. At this moment, Bane interjected in time. "Al, do you not trust me? The necessary checks have already been done, and there are no problems." When Alaric heard that, he glared at him with an emotional look. However, Bane seemed not to notice, and his smile remained gentle. After a moment, Alaric thought of something, and his aura turned colder. Then, he suggested icily, "Let's leave her to rest in the room, and we'll go out to speak." Bane nodded in response. "Sure." Following that, the two men exited the ward. Before Bane walked out, Victoria exchanged glances with him. When Alaric caught sight of it, his hostility intensified. After closing the door, they walked to the opposite side of the ward and ensured that she would not overhear their conversation. "What happened?" Alaric's sharp gaze fell on Bane's face with a deep sense of inquiry. After hearing that, Bane removed his glasses and wiped them gently before smiling and explaining, "I heard that old Mrs. Cadogan was having surgery, so I went to the hospital to check on her. When I got there, I saw a familiar figure being taken away, but I couldn't confirm who it was without seeing their face. Later, I went to the operating room and found out it was Victoria, so I had her rescued." Alaric also wanted to know the sequence of events, so he listened quietly. After Bane finished speaking, he frowned. "What about the perpetrators?" "We caught them," Bane replied. "Who is it?" Alaric couldn't figure out who would do that. "Victoria doesn't have any enemies. So, who would target her at this time?" Hearing his question, Bane fell silent. Suddenly, Alaric's brow furrowed in response to the silence. "Bane." Then, Bane lifted his gaze and spoke thoughtfully. "Do you truly want to know?" This question made Alaric even more confused. Even though Victoria appears to be fine now, the kidnapping is a serious matter to which I could turn a blind eye. Putting his glasses back on, Bane said sternly, "The person who kidnapped her might surprise you. You need to be prepared to make a choice." Hearing the word choice, Alaric had a foreboding feeling in his heart. Sure enough, before he could ask further, Bane uttered, "It's someone from Claudia's side." When Alaric heard this, his gaze turned cold. "My subordinates have already sent over their names. Take a look for yourself." Bane handed his phone to him. Alaric took the phone and looked at the photo. He immediately recognized Christopher, who had argued with Victoria at the farewell party and was not allowed to appear in front of Claudia again. As for the other guy, he wore a tough guy look, and Alaric didn't recognize him at all. Does he have any connection with Claudia? He pointed at Christopher's photo. According to the information, he and Claudia were classmates in the same school before and were Claudia's pursuer. She's your lover, yet you don't even know her pursuer. The word lover made Alaric frown in displeasure. After that, he looked at Bane, who seemed to have a good temper. I'd known him for a long time, but his lips were always set in a shallow smile. He wasn't like this before, but now it makes me feel. Thinking of this, he narrowed his eyes and asked a question he had wanted to ask since earlier. Why didn't you contact me when you realized Victoria was taken away? As he spoke, he fixed his gaze on Bane but found that he still looked calm and gentle. Sorry, Al. I didn't have time. This answer made Alaric frown deeply. His voice suddenly turned cold, and he looked at Bane sarcastically, asking, Is it because you didn't have time or didn't want to tell me? Bane still smiled, but his words were different now. Since you already know, why bother asking me so clearly? As soon as Alaric heard that, his breathing hitched for a moment. Do you like her? Bane grinned and said nothing in response, confirming his suspicion. She's my wife now. Alaric gritted his teeth. It doesn't matter, you will divorce, Bane replied. Alaric's face changed, and asked, Did she tell you? Bane didn't confirm or deny that she did it, but he said lightly, Alaric, as a friend, I must remind you that you must have some self-awareness. Why did you marry Victoria? Why are you still entangled with Claudia? Don't you know what's in your heart? Chapter 130. After hearing Bane's response, Alaric's mind was in chaos. He had always felt that something was off about Bane when they were young. Bane was always close to Victoria, and he often patted her head and called her a little girl. Still, Bane had always said she was just a kid who hadn't grown up yet. So, he always thought Bane treated her like a younger sister. Although this was his opinion, deep down, Alaric always felt that something was off. This feeling continued until they lost contact and disappeared from each other's lives after he went abroad. However, he never expected that today. Bane actually admitted it, and so quickly at that. Surprised. Bane chuckled softly. Isn't it obvious that I have liked her since we were kids? I thought you knew all along. After hearing that, Alaric said nothing, with his lips pressed into a straight line. Looks like you just found out. Well, it's not too late to know now. Thinking about something, Bane added, So, what will you do about Claudia? What? Alaric's mind was still on the fact that his friend liked Victoria. As a result, he had no desire to think about anything else. Then, Bane put it delicately. I heard you left the hospital halfway because someone sent you a message saying Claudia was missing. Alaric was astute, so he naturally comprehended what Bane was saying. Although Alaric also felt that the two incidents were too coincidental to the point of being suspicious, he couldn't believe that Claudia was involved, given that she had risked her life to save him by jumping into the river. On the other hand, Bane could tell Alaric's response by his silence. It seems our opinions are different now. In that case, as a friend, I have to warn you in advance. I can't stand it when anyone bullies Victoria. Hence, if I find out that Claudia is involved in this matter, I won't go easy on her. Alaric frowned upon hearing that. What do you mean? Have you already assumed that it's her? I'm just waiting for the results. Don't you want to know? Considering your feelings for Claudia, you should at least think about what you will do if it turns out she's involved, right? Meanwhile, Alaric did not go to find Claudia after leaving the hospital but instead returned to Central Hospital. Griselda had already undergone her operation, but she remained in the observation room. When Alaric arrived, he asked, "Grandma, is she dash slap?" A slap landed on his handsome face. He didn't dodge, and he was hit squarely in the face. Mary's palms hurt because she had to use all her strength to slap her son, and her normally fair palms quickly turned red. She usually maintained such poise and beauty, but she lost her cool at that moment. Then, she glared at him with bloodshot eyes. "I'm so disappointed in you." After Adrian saw that, he quickly stepped forward to pull his wife away. "Why did you have to do that? Does your hand hurt?" he spoke to her while massaging her hand in a distressed manner. Soon, Alaric's handsome face was quickly marked with a handprint. After all, the slap had used almost all of his mother's strength. After that, he appeared gloomy and disheartened. In his entire life, from childhood until now, his mother had never laid a hand on him until this one time. Despite his desire to explain himself, he was speechless at realizing he had let everyone down. He had left while his grandmother was in the hospital undergoing surgery, and he had not returned until now, which made him appear to be a complete jerk. After a while, he said, "I'll see Grandma first." After saying that, he walked away while Mary glared at her son's back, with Adrian trying to calm her down. "Okay, don't be angry. Anyway, things have already happened." "What do you mean? Just because things have happened, I shouldn't care anymore? It's because I've been too lenient that he's acting so recklessly now." She was so angry that she lost the air of a refined and wealthy lady. "I'm not saying you shouldn't care, but since things are like this now, getting angry won't help." "Let's take it slowly," he explained. "Take it slowly? With things like this, we can't take it slowly. Why don't you take care of your son yourself?" "I'm done with it." Adrian sighed helplessly upon hearing that. "You know I always listen to you. As for our son, what would you do if you were in his shoes? If you heard that your life-saving benefactor was missing, could you sit still in the operating room?" When Mary heard that, she didn't say anything. "It's a dilemma. What do you expect him to choose? I didn't say he couldn't go find her, but did he have to take so long? Even Victoria. Fortunately, Bane found her. Otherwise, she would be in danger, and what's the point of his dilemma?" she argued. "Yeah, fortunately, Bane was there. Don't blame Alaric anymore. He's also feeling bad about it," Adrian said. "Feeling bad? He can feel bad all he wants but will regret it when something happens. He doesn't know what's most important to him, Mary replied angrily. However, when she thought of her son silently walking away after being slapped by her just now, she felt sorry for him. He is probably feeling bad too. Still, what could he do? Either choice is painful for him. Even as parents, we could not speak ill of Claudia lest we be deemed ungrateful to a benefactor. As decent individuals, we should be thankful. It's not easy to strike a balance between everything, and poor Victoria is the one who has to suffer. The more she considered this, the more she felt for Victoria. She knew she couldn't stand in Victoria's shoes after what had happened today. Despite that, she wondered how Victoria remained so composed under such duress. Alaric, on the other hand, stood up after approximately an hour of accompanying his grandmother outside the observation room. I'm going out for a while. Despite being slapped by Mary earlier, he still informed the two of them before leaving. His mother immediately furrowed her brows upon hearing that. At this time, you still want to go out? Yes, there's something I need to take care of, he said in a baritone. Looking at her son's serious expression, Mary initially didn't want him to go, but after thinking about it, she changed her mind. Okay, then go take care of it. Take care of it quickly, and as for Victoria, don't worry, I will take care of everything, Alaric replied. Then he left. Since Claudia returned to the hospital ward, she noticed that Elaine was not there. She waited for a long time, but Elaine did not come back. My phone is quiet, with no calls or incoming messages. As if Elaine and Christopher have suddenly vanished into thin air. Soon, she began to feel anxious because she knew Christopher had acted at this time. She had already made great efforts to create time and opportunity for them, but Alaric was extremely astute and would eventually suspect her. Hence, she had only the fact that she had saved his life, despite her own wounds, to fall back on as her ace in the hole. In addition, she knew that everything would be fine as long as Victoria's unborn child was gone. Therefore, she could only hope that Christopher had completed the task, or else all her efforts would be in vain. While Claudia was lost in thought, the ward door was abruptly opened. Who is it? She looked at the door, thinking Elaine had returned with good news. However, to her surprise, she saw Alaric dressed in a dark suit with an icy expression and his entire being radiating hostility.